I got him. I mean, you can schedule tweets. That's a thing you can do, guys.
Who's doing that?
We could
Who is
schedule our
doing that?
tweets and then we don't have to listen to Alabaster. I was going to use another word, complain towards us about how we haven't tweeted the show, but we all have tweeted the show, right?
We have good verb choice, good diplomacy. Welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where we tweet out the link on time when it is
Yes.
asked of us.
Yes.
Kevin Clark, you are looking
Hi.
like the boss who's called me and Dominique into a meeting to fire us.
That's
Does feel
not
like
fair. I
it
drew
does feel like
the river that is
oh.
normally in the
Oh, well, in that
background
case, we're
is
all good.
here. We're fine.
You look like you're at the seaport.
I am at the sea. They kicked us out of the seaport.
But which way is that river flowing? It seems like, so are those waves or is
Can you
that the current?
draw one of the corpses that they usually find in the East River, like near the seaport, which is not a joke. Although I
No.
apologize for making light of it, but that is the
Yes.
place where bodies are dredged out of the New York City waterway.
Quite
To
often.
answer your question, Dominic, the river flows towards. Well done. Well
Well, Pablo, in that case, is the dam. Get him, dam.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a beaver creating dams out of little pieces of detritus and wood, trying to stop this show from proceeding. Against, by the way, the best wishes of Alabaster, who is pointing very insistently for our podcast audience at the fourth box of our screen, which is now occupied by a rundown card. Because you know what's an innovation, guys, in the world of sports television? A rundown. And so we have one, Debatable, pioneering a rundown, starting with Devin Booker and the Suns and the Nets and the Celtics, the Heat
Did you
and Cooper Kupp,
notice?
allegedly.
I'm sorry to cut you off. This is very important. When Alabaster sent out the pre-show meeting rundown, he spelled it Rudd now. Did
Yeah,
you
that was
notice that?
embarrassing. That
So
was
I
very
demand
mean for
that
him.
from this point forth, Rudd now. Let's take a look at the Rudd now. We got Booker and the Suns, Nets, Celtics, Heat, Cooper Kupp. We got a game today, Alabaster?
No games. All
No
serious
games.
business
I
today.
like
No
it. All
games.
business.
That's
No
right.
games.
And we're going to start with
Oh.
yep, there's
Yep.
my email address.
Rudwan. Sorry, Rundwan. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Perilously
Thank you
close to revealing
for
Alabaster's name.
I know.
Thank you
That's
for doxing me.
Yeah, you just doxed them on national internet.
Wow.
International internet.
Wow.
With that said, if you guys want to email me, send me suggestions for the show, we'll take them all. And our first topic,
Seriously.
including panelist suggestions, by the way.
That's right. We're
Because
looking for a
obviously,
new
yeah.
panelist in the top left. And our
Yep.
first question, where do you stand with the Suns after Devin Booker's injury in their game two loss?
So there are a couple ways to approach this question. I want to start off by just pointing out something that I think is going to get lost in the discussion, broadly speaking, because the Pelicans were winning this game when Devin Booker got hurt. Right? The Suns are, yes, the only team we feel any confidence about in terms of actually making it out of the Western Conference to the NBA Finals. We feel very good about that. We felt very good about that. But the Pelicans were leading them 77 to 74 in the third quarter when Devin Booker checked out of the game for what was later revealed to be a hamstring concern. And if you guys saw the video of him jumping weirdly and landing weirdly and limping off weirdly, it's the kind of injury that it's like, okay, this is something that's going to be a problem for the rest of the postseason, is how it felt to me, the son of two doctors, someone who rejected that calling, but nonetheless feels qualified to make
Oh my
proclamations like
God.
this.
Oh my
And
God.
so,
Those
I'm
emails
just
to
saying.
Alabaster for a new panelist cannot come soon enough.
Oh gosh. Anyway. The non-contact of it all is concerning. And also, I think what is more concerning was this wasn't a blowout. It was not even a game that they
No.
won. And that he didn't come back is really concerning. Like, I'd understand, like, let's be cautious. We're going to need him later. And I'm not sure that they're going to need him again in this series. I think they could win this series without Devin Booker. But the real major concern is whatever snake bittenness that Chris Paul carries with him to the playoffs, like it has
Someone
bitten.
is getting
Oh
hurt.
God,
Don't
yeah, it's
know who,
so
but
sad.
someone's doing it.
But I mean, it does change things. He's the guy. Like as much as we
Yes.
give Chris Paul the credit, like he is the guy. If there is one straw that stirs this drink, particularly in end of game moments, I feel like it's Devin Booker, and you're going to need him at some point if you don't need him now.
We're still doing the straw thing. We're still doing, Kevin, we're still doing straws stirring in drinks. We're still doing that.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, that's it. It started with Reggie Jackson 40 years ago when he said
that's
it
right.
before.
Still
and
valid.
Still, it still continues. Can I hit you with a not so fast, my friend?
Ooh, I would love it. I love a not
Are
so fast,
Are we
my
totally
friend.
Sure that without Devin Booker, the New Orleans Pelicans can't win this series? Because I saw a team last night, Monty Williams, said that that may have been the worst he's ever seen the Suns play in transition since he became the coach. Okay.
Yep.
That was brutal, and everybody on the Pelicans looks good right now. Okay. And that's kind of how you win series, is you get a bunch of people punching above their weight, and all of a sudden you pulled an upset. Without Devin Booker, and by the way, it was only 77-74 when Booker was ruled out of the game yesterday. So I don't think there's some huge gulf without Booker that says that, okay, this is a bye. I don't see that at all. I saw a sloppy team last night, and I don't know where this series is going. So I wouldn't assume anything with the Suns right now. The number one thing is getting Devin Booker healthy, because they can be an elite team without him. With him. Without him, I've got some real concerns about
anything. I'll be quiet, because I can see Pablo is dying to say something. It better be good, because I got good analysis sitting in my pocket. Go ahead.
Well, keep that holstered for a second, because I just feel like we have to say the name Brandon Ingram here, right? Mm-hmm. Because he had 37, 9, and 11. He was the best player for the Pelicans. He was not playing this way in game one, and he emerged as a – it's just, by the way, kind of heartwarming, the story of the Pelicans, right? Brandon Ingram rejected, why don't he want me, man? Speaking to LeBron, he shows up in New Orleans. CJ McCollum, who had 23, 9, and 8, why don't he want me, man? Speaking about Portland and Dame Lillard. Like, these are the rejects who wound up playing through the play-in round into this series and then winning, taking a game off of a team that, look, I guess I'll go to Dominique here. Dominique, back to you, as
one,
we established.
I mean, the one player that they do want doesn't seem to want them.
Yes.
He seems to want to go elsewhere in Zion Williamson. And that's like that. That changes this team, obviously. And maybe the pieces don't work nearly as well, because we saw Ingram on a LeBron-ish team, and Ingram wasn't this Ingram. So maybe there's something about having someone be in a centerpiece that makes it tougher for them to work around. But I think the projection everyone makes is if you add a player that good to this team, then they become a title contender, honestly, if these guys can play like this consistently. But I do think that the reason why I'm less scared for the Suns is they've had success without each of their biggest pieces. If we're going to call the big three, Ayton, Booker, and Chris Paul, they've had success throughout the season with each of those pieces. And one of the cornerstones of what they do really well is play good defense. They didn't last night. So I'm willing to give them the aberration treatment, because they have every other game for the rest of this season, or most of them at least. So I'm willing to say that this was some sort of momentary lapse, and that they will play better defense, particularly in a transition going forward, and they'll be able to win with or without Devin Booker.
I agree.
So, Kevin, just on the three-point percentage, Kevin, I just want to throw this out there. The Pelicans shot 57%. From three, right? Like, that's part of the story here as to how they actually won this game, why that defense of the Suns looks so terrible.
Since February, Pelicans have had a top 10 offense and defense. Okay, we can't sell this team short. And I want to also say, with this Booker
set
thing,
me down.
This is,
I love you. I miss
this
you.
This is the second hamstring injury. He has two hamstrings and he's injured both of them. There's your stat, Dominique.
I love
two.
It.
Hamstring injuries this year for Devin Booker on two different legs. That is not, I don't think that is a good thing. I mean, when you talk about it, is it better to re-injure the same hand?
One hamstring injury, bad thing. Two hamstring injuries, it's good. They cancel each other out. They cancel
each other
out.
Negative and a negative, a positive. That's just basic math.
Obviously. Yep.
It balances. It balances. It's like,
you
well,
don't want to be overcompensated.
Because I had one bad hamstring.
Yeah, put that on your whiteboard, Kevin Clark. One hamstring bad, two hamstrings good. Bad equals
no, but from a medical standpoint, only one of us has played high-level sports, and that's Pablo.
Right. Thank you.
And so,
varsity debate.
I'm just curious. Would it be worse news if it was the same hamstring he was battling all winter?
Yeah, I mean, there is no good news, honestly. I would say that a player like Devin Booker, basketball and football are so different in that the position I played, you can't play with a sore hamstring. basketball, you can, but the way that they're running transition, I think, is the biggest problem. So the best thing they can do is get him right. I don't know any way around this. It's not like he's a big man where they could find ways to hide him. And I'm not sure you can hide anybody in playoff-level basketball, particularly the way that the refs feel like the refs are calling much of these games. They seem more physical than – or they allow to be more physical than we're accustomed to.
They're going to – if Devin Booker comes back and he is clearly not, like, super you know, if the balance of his body is clearly still thrown off, right? Because he's compensating with one leg for the other, they're going to hunt him on defense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to put him in switches. They're going to make him run around. It's going to be bad news for the Suns. And the bad news for the Suns big picture here is that as much as this is a team that we rightfully have conceived as built around Chris Paul, Chris Paul is the guy with his hand on the steering wheel, and he's not the guy with the hand on the steering wheel. He is the guy in the driver's seat yelling at the guy whose hands are on the steering wheel. All of that is true. But without Devin Booker, the Suns are 8-6. With him, they're 56-12. And again, small sample size theater, right? Just 14 games without him. But that is an issue.
Yeah, I mean,
that is an issue in terms of scoring that the Suns, for as good as they are,
but
right?
I mean,
DeAndre Ayton isn't
say,
a scorer.
Pablo, most of your analysis is outstanding and your jokes are fantastic. But you just gave us some stats to say they're better with Devin Booker. We know. Like, we know they're better than Devin Booker. That is not the question. The question is, how long is Devin Booker going to be bad or out? And the problem for me is hamstrings don't really go away. Like, if you get like a tight hamstring or some sort of strain in your hamstring in the sport that I'm familiar with, training camp in football, that thing lingers for the entire season. So while I think a lot of people are saying, like, you don't need him right now, as long as he's back for the conference finals, he's not, like, it's going to be an issue. Even if he's able to play, he will not be his level of Booker-ish.
Can I can I support Pablo for a second?
Please.
To your point.
Finally.
Wait.
His point was that Devin Booker is good.
And you're going to support him?
No.
He needs some help.
Let's
support him.
It's not
support
just
me.
That they're better with Devin support Booker. Me. It's that they go from a team that was like a historically good regular season team and one that we thought was a lock to make the finals to someone who is mediocre. And 8-6 is like, you know, obviously a
different?
Small sample, but you they're basically turning into the Timberwolves.
That's what happens.
Correct.
That's what basketball is.
Scroll.
Is you have a couple
superstars
and then you lose one.
Yeah, but the Memphis Grizzlies as a counterpoint, right? They lose John Morant, they win at a historic pace. It's crazy. Maybe that's anomalous, sure, but there are teams that are better constructed to support the loss of a Devin Booker. Imagine if
now
I was off the show,
you're hurting
guys.
Your argument.
That would be a real big problem,
gosh.
Too. Just imagine.
We would
just
be
imagine.
Our stats for a number of inappropriate references would go through the floor. And it would be a concern. We would not be able to, yes.
The PER.
Value over replacement pervert is off the charts, admittedly.
Your perv is off the charts. But, I mean, I was going to say that all you have to do is scroll.
Oh, my God.
Perverted P. All you have to do is scroll Twitter to find that level of analysis. But then I realized, actually, you won't even find that on Twitter because it's obvious. Yes, they are worse without him. And we've already spent too much time on this. I thought you were a good producer, Alabaster. How dare you steer us back the argument that doesn't need to be argued.
So let me add some more perhaps obvious logs to this fire, right? Which is that we're still dealing with a 1-8 seed matchup.
Right.
So the best argument for the Suns here is that even with all of this, even with an 8-6 version of the Suns, you're up against an 8 seed, and 8 seed has only beaten a 1 seed in the NBA postseason 5 times ever, right? 5 times ever. So the question is this a Derrick Rose getting hurt against the Sixers in 2012?
Right.
The Bulls are the 1 seed. The Sixers upset them as the 8 seed.
See,
is that what's
bounce
happening
back,
here?
Perverted P. Bounce back. That's
or,
good information.
Or is Chris Paul going to just do the thing where, you know, he's awesome and we all look stupid without him?
Well, I
finish hyping you.
Dominic, I'm a little confused because Pablo hasn't told us whether or not Chris Paul playing is a good thing or a bad thing.
You know who thinks Chris Paul playing is a bad thing, Alabaster? Put that card down here before.
Oh, God.
Scott Foster.
Oh,
referee.
Yeah. Poor Scotty Foster. What's his record?
He's lost 14 straight games, Chris Paul has, that Scott Foster has officiated.
That's outstanding.
Can you imagine? You know what Chris Paul is mad about when it's trivial.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much he wants to say about Scott Foster, the only NBA ref who was implicated in the Tim Donaghy scandal that is still refereeing high-level playoff games?
Refereeing them?
Right now.
What is a statistically significant number of losses of an official? I was wondering what it is, because like I could get on board with 3 in a row, maybe 5 in a row, particularly if your teams aren't good.
Also, this is Chris Paul. Chris Paul generally wins games. This isn't like Terrence Ross.
That's outrageous on the best team. So I think that it's another point that probably should be made is this Pelicans team, because the NBA season is so damn long, this Pelicans team,
that's a good insight.
The team that is there now is not indicative of their full season record. And so like they've acquired McCollum and they've been presumably working him into the system in different ways, figuring out how he works with his teammates and that sort of stuff. So there's an argument to be made that they are not, I was going to say not a traditional 8 seed, but not an 8 seed at all. And this, whatever loss that they have from Booker could put them closer to on par. But I'm sticking with the Suns. Suns will find a way to win this. I don't think they have anything to be worried about now, but they're not trying to get a first down. They're trying to win a championship. They do have a lot to worry about there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. But before we move on, I do feel compelled to defend Pablo one more time, and that is that the Bucks won the series without Giannis last year. The Warriors won series without Curry and without Kevin Durant. So it is sort of unique how much value he has to this team when we've seen other teams with egalitarian systems survive really without their best players. All right.
Terrible.
Let's move on.
Terrible.
And our question is, do you see the Celtics and Nets having another epic game tonight?
Why would anyone root against this? Why would any of us say no? I mean, are you guys going to say no to this? I am so excited for this game in ways that, you know, that Kevin, you know this from and both of you know this because it's just a meme at this point, but the Teddy Roosevelt quote, right? That Tom Brady always sort of is putting out there. LeBron is writing onto his sneakers. TD Bank North Garden, which is a terrible name for the Boston Garden. It is the arena, like in all of the ways. Imagine the movie version of hell for a visiting player, and imagine that you are Kyrie Irving, that visiting player, who is demanding that yet more hell be rained down upon him. He was, fined $50,000 for giving the middle finger to Celtics fans in game one, and I think that's a mischaracterization, actually, because there were many middle fingers, many things about S&Ds and so forth and so on, but the point is, I don't think 50K is going to prevent him from living out his gladiator cosplay fantasy in game two tonight.
I want to say a couple things. Number one is I was watching a show, perhaps on this network, a couple of weeks ago, and they mentioned the Man in the Arena quote, and they said, the anchor said it was popularized by LeBron. I think it was popularized by Teddy Roosevelt, the president of the United States, who said it. But let's not get into the weeds here.
Name names.
I don't know. I don't know which anchor it was. But
all looks same.
It was Nagandhi. Probably was Nagandhi. Nagandhi seems like that type.
I covered the NBA for 2 years.
Love you, Kevin.
Writer.
Nagandhi.
And that's where I learned things about the sport, like superstars are good when they're on the court. All sorts of insights, you know, got high-level analysis like that all the time. Boston is, and I don't want to pump up Boston fans any more than they're already. They got all these rings. They're doing the duck boat parades and all that stuff. That's fine. But TD Garden is probably the loudest modern basketball arena on a night-to-night basis. There are, you know, Memphis looked amazing last night. I'm sure that there are other places that get louder at their peak. But for a normal run-of-the-mill big game, Boston, I think, is the loudest environment. Kyrie is perfect for this. He wants to play the villain role. This is amazing. Middle fingers have, and I don't think that the players should just start giving kind of random middle fingers all the time, but they have a good way to heighten the atmosphere. When the Magic were playing against the Pistons, I don't know if you guys remember this, but the Pistons were
in
the Magic.
I'm shocked we're getting an Orlando Magic story right now.
They played a couple of different years in the playoffs, and the Pistons always won. And we thought we were closing the gap. And in 2008, the year before, me and the fellas, we thought we were closing the gap in 2008. And there was a really heated, surprisingly heated Magic Pistons game, 2008, game four, I believe, in Orlando. And there was a replay right at the end. Tito Turkoglu kind of drove, missed it. There was a possession replay. The Pistons ended up getting it to confirm, okay? And I will never, for the podcast listener, I cannot express to you how much interest Dominique and Pablo have lost in my anecdote about the 2008 playoffs.
But, you just mentioned Tito Turkoglu before the name Jason Tatum, but please continue.
But
I'm Googling SportsCenter's anchors. Was it Van Pelt?
Rasheed Wallace, when the replay was confirmed and the game was over, gave a middle finger salute. I don't mean Steve he gave Levy. A middle finger to every corner. It was not Steve Levy. I do not mean he gave a middle finger to every corner of the arena. I mean he gave a literal captain salute with his middle finger to every single section of Orlando Arena. And it was
Ashley
he won
Brewer.
Me over. I went from going from I hate Rasheed Wallace to Rasheed Wallace is my favorite human being on the planet. Middle fingers are an important
part. Was it Reese Davis?
Part. It was not Reese Davis. Middle fingers are
Did
so
important. Did we cover
important.
Neil Everett?
And if you don't respect middle finger culture in the NBA.
Jay Harris. It was Jay Harris.
I don't respect you. Cassidy? Kyrie is good. Kyrie is building this series.
So for the podcast audience, while Kevin was delivering his own men in the arena speech around the Orlando Magic, Alabaster was doing the thing that a child who's been kidnapped in a car does. He just writes a note and puts it up to the window, hoping for anyone to rescue him. Writing, please help
me. Oh,
man,
what are we talking about? This is, we got to Orlando Magic. We're talking about Kyrie, right? He's going to be good.
We're talking about how Kyrie scored almost 40 while flipping off the entirety of the Garden and feeding, as Kevin was, I think, trying to say, feeding into a crowd that all of us actually want to watch again.
No more, Kevin. I delivered it perfectly.
The idea that the game will be epic, like, I think we assume that it is going to be, but it's not likely to have back-to-back games like we just had with a buzzer beater, the first in Celtics home playoff history.
Ever.
Like, we're not going to see it again if we haven't seen it in whatever the 100 years of Celtics basketball. But if you, to Kevin's point, if you're watching Winning Time, which I am, the story on, or the series on HBO about the Lakers, they have just gone in to play in the Celtics arena. I think it's 79, so it's a little different. And they showed human poop on the TV show. That was important. I enjoyed it.
Is that what Kareem's mad about?
No, Kareem's not mad about that. I mean, that was Bill Russell. They showed Bill Russell's bed because, you know, the Celtics fans
put poop in the bed. Didn't get to that part in the series. Bill.
And I mean, everyone knows that. That's news to you?
The legend of...
Whenever the story of the Boston sports fan comes up, them being historically quite racist comes up, and then you talk about how they pooped in the bed of their black superstar.
No, Dominique, on the show today, we're calling it the loudest arena.
That's the euphemism we're using.
It's the loudest arena.
Them boys is
they're generationally loud. Yeah. So what I would say about this game is that this – but look, so actually, to thread the needle here of what we're dancing around, like, Kyrie – could make this all untenable because he's not actually doing the thing, Dominique, where he's saying all of you guys are problematic in these serious ways and I want you to stop. Yeah. He's not doing that.
Right.
What he's actually doing is allowing us to do the worst version of ourselves that actually can be had while not crossing a line. He's basically saying, give me all of it. I want this.
I'm not offended by it. Nobody's offended by it. Like,
and we're not offended by it.
No one's offended by it. The only reason why I wish, like, I would say, like, loosen our feelings about it and let it happen.
Oh, no.
Up against the wall. Up against the wall.
Swallow your shiv. Put your notes in your.
Nope. Stop it. Stop it.
You know where it goes. You know where it goes. Contraband goes one place.
All right, guys.
Wait. Before you get this, is the breaking news that Jimmy Pitaro wants more anecdotes about the Magic?
Certainly not.
Jimmy P.
God, Heat fans are going to be so mad because we're skipping over this. But I have a tweet to read you guys. Sorry, Heat. You are the most disrespected one seed in history. But Deebo Samuel has told ESPN's Jeff Darlington that he has asked the 49ers to trade him. And per Ian Rappaport, The 49ers wanted a long-term deal with Debo, but he's unwilling to engage because of how he's being used by the organization. Your thoughts on the volatile wide receiver market and more trades.
So, Darlington breaking the news, kudos to you. Rappaport reporting something about usage being a problem.
Hey,
are we can we extrapolate what that
more
is
importantly,
about? That caught my ear.
I think no. You guys are missing the most important part. It's clear that Tom Brady's about to retire. Because Jeff Darlington is reporting Debo Samuel news means that there's no more Tom Brady news to report in the coming future. This is Tom Brady's last season if Jeff has moved on to Debo. That's all.
Wow.
Wow.
Third eye, baby. Third eye.
Jeff is the man in the arena here.
He is. Third eye.
I have a couple questions. Dominique, the usage thing is interesting to me as it is to Pablo because the usage of Debo Samuel is why he's looking for a $25 million contract and might get it. Kyle Shanahan made this man a lot of money. Debo Samuel is incredibly talented, but the ability for him to do it all is why he's going to command so much money.
Let me talk about a guy who played for a team called the Orlando Magic in the 90s.
Yep.
This guy's name.
Mikhail Petrius.
Dennis Scott. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dennis Scott.
Dennis Scott's a great shooter. He had a longer career if he was playing around the world. But, I mean, the point, I was going to make a Shaq comparison, but the point of this, I think, I can save us all a lot of time, and it says money is not an issue for Samuels. Baloney.
I did skip over that part. Sorry. Yes, in my intrigue, that part I totally ignored.
Okay, now this is not like reporting. Obviously, this is my opinion, but I think that his usage is tied to the amount of money that he wants. And my guess is since they used him in multiple ways, he's trying to pull trick, but it's not a trick. He's trying to justify his value compared to other or combinations of players or higher paid players. Whereas I imagine the 49ers are like, no, let's pay you like a receiver. And his idea of usage is like, you ain't using me like a receiver. So my guess is that that's what the concern is. If they're willing to pay him number one receiver in the league money, which then kind of accounts for the fact that he is not only one of the best receivers in the league, but he is frankly the most important player on their offense, like quarterback levels of importance on their offense, then I'm pretty sure he won't have an issue with his usage anymore, would be my guess.
I think that over the past couple of months, I think that a lot of teams have said, where's our Debo Samuel type? And I think that's a really easy way to draft a bad player, just like a big wide receiver, and just say, oh, we'll just use him like Debo Samuel, and then you give him to some terrible offensive coordinator, and all of a sudden you just got a bad second round pick on your hands. Like, that's a pretty easy way to get in a hole. But if Debo Samuel actually becomes available, and everybody overrates their own coaching staff, that's why they were hired in the first place, I think you're going to see a lot more interest than you would even maybe a typical top shelf receiver. The receiver market's gotten very strange over the past couple of years, where I keep hearing at some point it's going to become like the running back, where there's going to be so many good receivers that the money starts going down. But I haven't seen any evidence that the money's going down. It's going up and up and up. And Christian Kirk got overpaid, and that started a whole cascade where all of a sudden Tyreek Hill's getting a ton of money. Devontae Adams getting a ton of money. You want to be with Derek Carr. The receiver market's in a very weird place, but I think there's going to be a huge market for Debo Samuel because every team believes they can have this sort of Kyle Shanahan-esque production.
Very smart things you said there. I want to address the smart things by first the idea that the receiver market will turn into the running back market. Like I know you said people are talking about that, and I've heard the same thing, but it's no way that ever happens because the way that the rules have changed and the game has changed. Yeah. And I could get behind an argument. I mean, it's supply and demand. If there's a huge supply of really great receivers, then potentially their value goes down and they're not going to be able to demand the same price. But the issue with that is you need to, in my view at least, you're going to need to have 64 of them top level receivers in the league because it's not just having a number one. You kind of need, it feels like at least we're heading in a direction that you need at least two top level options. And so I don't see anything happening to the receiver market except for it continuing to go up. And to your point about the Debo Samuel, everyone looking around and seeing to find their, hoping that they can find their own Debo Samuel. This, like, again, reckless speculation, but this sounds to me like him and his agent already got it figured out. They already know, they already have the deal figured out at some other team. They already know the compensation. They just need John Lynch to sign off on the papers or to match the deal that they have out there.
So to give a brief recap of the wide receiver market and all of those contracts that have been signed, right? So Abbasser put down a quote via The Athletic that blamed all of this, like the Gavrilo Princip here is Christian Kirk's agent, yeah. I guess, right? Because he signs for $472 million, right? It's Christian Kirk's fault. What happened to Kirk is 100% the issue. And what happened to him was a big contract landing inside of his wallet, right? 4 years, $72 million. Stephon Diggs, $496 million. Davante Adams, $541 million. Tyreek Hill, $420 million. We were going to talk, I believe, Alabaster, also about Cooper Kupp. Maybe that just gets folded into this story here. But like Cooper Kupp, Dominique, it's fascinating, right? You're talking about the supply and demand aspect. What are agents doing here? Cooper Kupp's agent is saying, or Cooper Kupp personally, rather, perhaps in contradiction of what his agent would like him to say, is saying, I'm not looking to reset the market. I'm not looking to be the number one paid guy, even if implication here, he is the number one receiver in the league. He's not looking to outpace those deals I just mentioned, which to me is, again, a bit of theatrics here that I want to sort of break down as to why that is happening.
I hate it.
I will say, I wouldn't minimize, I mean, the Archduke Franz Ferdinand analogy, like that only started World War One. That didn't change the parameters of the Stephon Diggs extension, Pablo. Like, let's not like world changing events are happening, and you're comparing it to World War One.
Oh gosh, let's be serious, guys. I do think that the Cooper Kupp, like, that just annoys me. But I had a thought. And I think we should do a better job when we're talking about these contracts. It's like we should do annual value, average annual value,
guaranteed.
Or we should do guaranteed money. Because looking at those contracts the way that we just listed them, I think is not a fair way, given the way NFL contracts work. It's not a fair way
totally
to talk
fair.
About how this happened. So going forward, I think debatable
but
should do
Dominic,
better when it comes to contract talks.
You know how much that would be an Orlando Magic history sized card. Like 4 years, 77, but only X percent.
But I mean, we don't have to do the 4 years, 77. Just put the guaranteed number or put the annual average value. But anyway, neither here nor there. I don't
know. I'll have to do that for us, please. Thank you.
The Cooper Kupp stuff to me, like, it's just annoying, but it's fine. It's your choice to do all that. It's probably a reasonable estimation by him. Is things have worked out really well for him there, better than I think anyone would have projected. His career there. He ain't trying to mess that up. Like, that seems, and for whatever reasons, partially racism, people don't see him as good a receiver as he actually is. Yeah, I mean, he's white, and people are like,
I can't. Don't say ledge on that. Yeah, but totally.
He's definitely totally white.
Okay to say.
This is the only case of reverse racism that I think actually exists in the world. This is the only one where Cooper Kupp is not being properly rated because he don't look quite like the part. But I do think he could be part of it could be that he doesn't care. Like, it's only so much money you could spend. But another part of it is, I don't want to mess this up. Things like, he's having the best, better than anyone could have imagined given his college projection or even given the start of his career. I ain't trying to mess this up. Keep me here. Whatever you want to pay me, I'm good with it.
A couple of years ago, I went to Jacksonville, and I think I want to say it was 2014, and they'd signed a bunch of guys, and Dominic, you know this phenomenon. They'd send a bunch of guys to like the seventh best team or like seventh best guy on like the Seahawks.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, and I'm talking to these guys, it's like November, they're like 2-11, and they're all just like, this sucks. Yeah. Like, I wish I was back in Seattle, or I wish I was back in Denver, and all of these places that these guys got signed from, Philadelphia, all these relevant teams. And they're just like, man, this, I really wish I could just return that extra, you know, $500,000 to be back in the mix. And some guys are wired differently. If you have the chance to get generational wealth, go get it. If it's not available in the relevant place, fine. But with Cooper Kupp, like, they're always going to be good. Matthew Stafford's always going to be your quarterback. Sean McVay's going to get you open. And I kind of think, listen, the Deebo Samuel situation is different. Deebo Samuel needs his first big contract.
Right.
And so if there's a massive gulf between where the Niners are and where he believes he could go if he went to Carolina or something like that, then I understand why you do that. But if it's small, stay with Kyle Shanahan.
It's a thing.
Like that.
It's a
Cooper
thing.
Kupp knows right. where he can get open.
It's a thing that we all hear all the time. We might even say it, and we all know it to be true, but we can't resist the urge, is that money doesn't buy you happiness. Like, there's a certain level of money that anything else after
How
that
dare
does
you.
Not actually make you any happier. And I think most guys would pay millions of dollars for the things that do make them happy. If it is playing in a good system, if it is winning a championship, if it is just being in the hunt every year, yeah, you would. But you aren't presented with that question. You're presented with something else that is an ego challenge. It's like, am I the best? Yes. Then show me and show the rest of the damn world that I'm the best by paying me such. Like, that to me drives this, along with the agent saying, like, is my number going to be the biggest? Like, that like emotion drives these decisions more than like rational thought, but we're human, so that's what we do.
I think of this, Dominique, every time I see Elon Musk now try to own Twitter, but just like, why are you on Twitter, dude? Richest man in the world. You can go to space. You can do anything. You're here. You're here in the mud with us. Clearly, the end of the financial rainbow. Happiness does not lie there. If you're trying to do all of this still.
Hey, Alabaster, I quit this show for the rest of the week. Pablo just opened my eyes. Why am I here in the
Dominique
mud?
Dominique just realized that he passed the threshold Elon beyond Musk which there are diminishing returns of quality of life. Beyond your earnings, like, yeah, he passed that like 10 years ago. Yeah, and there he
goes. Bye, Dominique.
It was gonna happen at some point, honestly. It was, you know what they say, Kevin, you know, just like be glad that it happened, you know.
Smile because it happened.
Was it the Orlando Magic talk? Was
that Teddy Roosevelt said that, I believe. Yeah,
It was because he knows there's gonna be a heat culture discussion at some point, right?
That's right.
So many, by the way. I guess, are we going to actually talk about Hedo Turkoglu, but not Jimmy Butler? We've said Hedo Turkoglu's name like a half dozen times, and I believe I just said Jimmy's name for the first time just then.
Yeah, we can talk about the most disrespected one seed in NBA history, God. According to every single Heat fan that complains about everything no matter what. But yeah, here's my question for you guys.
Back. I'm back. Here's my question for you guys. I don't want to leave you hanging.
Should we all be patting little Jimmy Butler and the Heat on the back for going up 2-0 on the 8-seed Hawks?
Oh, my God. I saw a tweet from the Heat main account yesterday that said the Jimmy Butler game. It's game 2 of the first round.
It was a great
the
game.
The Jimmy Butler game? Jimmy Butler, ask Jimmy Butler. I'm sure it was a great game. Congratulations, Jimmy Butler.
45 points.
Wonderful
That's
basketball
impressive.
Player.
Yep.
But you ask Jimmy Butler, if you ask Jimmy Butler if he wants the Jimmy Butler game to be that, I think he'd say absolutely not.
No, Kevin, you heard off on that. It's a very good point. Calling this the Jimmy Butler game and celebrating it in the way that we think we should to celebrate Jimmy Butler is a sort of thing that Jimmy Butler would bully if it was someone else doing that about themselves, not named Jimmy
Heat
Butler.
Heat culture, that's not Heat culture. When LeBron James was finishing off the 76ers, and I think it was 2011, you probably remember this, Pablo. Do you remember what he said? He said, we're finishing our breakfast. No one said this was a LeBron James game, beating up Elton Brand in the 76ers. They were just like, eh, whatever.
And and the Hawks, in terms of like what kind of breakfast they are right now, it's a sad like residence in. Kind of like you show up, the toaster's broken. Like there's half an one of those like muffins. You know, it's like the bacon's just gross. Yeah, it's not like the Hawks. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Like, I understand that this is a very anti-Heat culture show, but we don't have to be down on them because their Twitter account said something stupid and because their fans are bothered. Like, let's be honest. We talk about these games if they were interesting. You guys are too good and they're too bad. You're beating the dog out of
exactly
them,
right.
And it gives us nothing to talk about. And I would love to talk about how Jimmy Butler like shot over 50% from three and how it's not likely to happen again. He may have wasted his bubbles finals games a little too early against a team that didn't need it. But he's great. He was great in the series. Like there's talk of like the future of Tyler Hero, like the future being Tyler Hero down there. Jimmy Butler is not ready for that. Not yet. I don't think Tyler Hero is ready for that yet. But in Bam Adebayo getting like snubbed for defensive player of the year, like there's plenty to talk about there, but none of it's interesting. None of your players are all that interesting. Like Jimmy Butler is kind of mean and annoying and really good sometimes. I'm sorry, Pablo. I just felt like we needed to be honest about this. Like, let's lay it out.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest. The thing that I – so Jimmy Butler, to Dominique's point here, right, 4 of 7 from 3 on the year – He shot 23.3% from three. God, he has been a worse shooter than Russell Westbrook. We all spent the whole year making fun of Russell Westbrook. Here's Jimmy Butler being worse than him and then showing up, dropping 45 and playing very good defense and doing the thing that Jimmy Butler gets to do, even though he yells at Eric Spoelstra and causes his own coach to throw a clipboard in his direction like a proximity mine. All of that happened because Jimmy Butler is this good. The thing that is fascinating to me, Alabaster, about this game, because I paid attention to game one, paid attention to game two. Game one was the Duncan Robinson game, right? Yeah. I'll just point that out because he had almost 30 in that game. You know how many minutes he played in game two, Alabaster? Correct me if I'm wrong. He played 9 minutes in game two, I believe. Like, was he hurt? Or is this just Eric Spoelstra doing the thing of like heat culture?
I can't tell you because I didn't watch the whole game. I have not watched, like, they've played two games. If you cobble together all the minutes that I've watched of them, it does not equal a full game.
7 minutes, incidentally. How much Dominique watched and how much.
It's nothing to watch. I tune in excited to watch it. I get annoyed with Lowry doing all the Lowry things where he's creating fouls where there are none. Like, I see all that. Right, I care.
Shoving his butt
into people. Then I look at the bottom of the screen, and they're up by 15, and I'm like, all right, fire up the old streaming networks.
Pablo, are we crediting the culture with inventing the concept of a rotation?
I'm crediting Eric Spoelstra with the idea that he can sort of run experiments on his own players in the postseason. But truly expects Duncan Robinson to not have his confidence totally shaken by the fact that he only played 7 minutes after having the game of his life in game one, Alabaster.
Okay. So the Heat already invented practice, trying hard in the regular season.
Developing players. They invented developing players.
Yeah. That's assigning undrafted guys. Mm-hmm. They invented that. Rooting for your team on social media is also something they invented.
Innovation.
And now they've invented beating a bad team in the first round as a one seed.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable how much they revolutionized the game. It's unbelievable.
Oh, man. If they had LeBron, we talk about. Oh, sorry, Alabaster, you got something?
So I got a few things. First of all, I cannot believe I'm actually going to defend the Heat here for a second.
Yes.
But I have to. We spent the first 15 minutes of this show talking about how teams can't be good unless their best player is on the floor playing well. And the Heat actually run completely counter to that. They're such an egalitarian team. They can survive without Jimmy Butler.
You got a word of the day calendar? Bam is that Adebayo, what it is? Which, you just wanted to squeeze egalitarian in as much as possible?
That's right.
It's a good word.
One of the few big words I know, and I want Pablo to like me. So
they're also playing a broken down Hawks team.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I'm going to give the Heat all the credit in the world. I really enjoy watching them play basketball.
Not all the credit.
Some most of the credit goes to the 08 Magic, but the a lot of credit goes to the Heat for playing well all season. Trae Young is not covering himself in glory this series at all. I like this team. I just don't think I'm with Dominique. I don't think we should talk about this kind of series. I don't care. No one should care about this kind of series.
Wow. Wait. No one should care. Heat culture. Be aware that Kevin Clark is now officially trying to cancel you. You are not allowed to be discussed on this program.
I just think that if you're handling your business, this is like a college football. It's like when Alabama plays Louisiana Monroe or whatever. Damn. We skip that week. We don't have a discourse on Alabama.
Atlanta Hawks, I would like you to now know that you are Louisiana Monroe. And the Heat should be canceled. Yes. So, I mean, I
South Carolina?
I'm happy. That's bad. That's a little bit more respect. I like that.
Yeah.
The score may not be any different, but it feels like they're at least in the same conference.
Sure.
I personally, like, I appreciate the Heat culture stuff because it is like, it's a personality. It gives us something to care about. So, like, I have to understand that maybe whether you know this or not, Kevin, you need Heat culture. You love Heat culture. You have to have Heat culture at that wall because otherwise you just be waiting for teams to, like, do things that they're supposed to do and then you celebrate them. No, Heat culture gives us something to talk about because we talk about Heat culture because they don't have a player or a storyline that's big enough or interesting enough for us to talk about. And so instead, we pile on the Heat culture thing. They are a very impressive organization over the past 20 years or so. They're probably, I don't know what win percentage-wise is, but they have to be amongst the top 5 in the NBA. They've been really impressive for a really long time, and it's hard to attribute that to anything other than culture because it's new players all the time, and it's not a marquee location. I guess it is for some things.
What?
Not a marquee. Okay, what? Dominique.
It's not a marquee.
This motorcycle that he was what riding gloriously happened? Over this bridge just flamed.
I went over the bridge.
The Rickenbacker
Causeway. Yeah, you were evil to
hit it. Riding over the Rickenbacker Causeway.
I finished. Can I hit a ditch?
All the heat culture guys on Twitter, and they were all embracing him.
Can I hit a ditch?
He's trying to do
why I gotta fly off the bridge?
You X Games flipped over the handlebars and the bike sort of flew into the causeway.
That's reasonable. I think that's reasonable. That's not going off the. Have you guys been to Miami?
I lived there. I went to University of Miami. I'm also immune. This already happened with the Dolphins discourse. I am immune from heat culture coming after me because of my Miami Hurricanes fandom. I have cover here. I'm good. Okay. There's enough people who are confused as to whether or not they should hate me that I get off easy.
I mean, we could debate whether it's a marquee location or not, but like Miami.
Or whether everyone's just not choosing to hate Kevin.
You live in Maryland.
I live in D.C.
You live on the D.C. Maryland border.
I don't live on the border. I live in D.C. There is no border. I actually live closer to the Virginia border, which is nothing to be proud of, than I do to the Maryland border. But either way, you cannot argue that if it's the freaking nation's capital, it's a marquee location. It's a marquee location. It is the marquee location. Like it is.
People
it is
have
it.
Been making fun of Kyle what Kuzma for making like $20 million a year there. That's where we're. Okay, I get it. I've been to Miami and I've been to D.C. I've been there both places in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, Dominique's
argument is not that. The monuments.
My argument. No. There are some great monuments, great museums. Like it's a lot of free stuff that's outstanding. Here and it's worth people coming to visit. But my argument is not DC is better than Miami. My argument is that Miami is not a marquee location. I'd go to Miami.
What are we talking about?
What are you talking about?
How are we even, Dominique?
I'm saying I don't want to go there. I don't want to live there. I'll visit it. I don't want to live there. Have you guys been to Miami? You've never been to Miami.
I don't want to live there.
What is
the idea that the NBA doesn't want to live there is Alabaster. What way in? I don't know why.
Sorry, I need to hard pivot here because I just don't care about this discussion. And that's just to say that this Cupcake Hawks team
we needed you.
That we totally wrote off, they beat Pablo 76ers last year. And we liked this roster on paper as an East contender.
So. To talk about the past.
Shout out Herder.
Mark McGuire Red once Velvet. Said to Congress.
Red Velvet, shout out Herder.
Kevin Herder is
the idea that
one of the grossest experiences of my life.
You can't
just
shout
watching
like, what are you...
Red Velvet drain long twos I just began to contemplate why I like sports in the first place.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's better. I like it. I like that.
Oh, thank you for giving the NFL analysts their binky alabaster.
So see,
some
see
contract
the,
numbers.
See the Christian Kirk number? See, it's a little different now. Everybody was all up in arms. Feels a little different now, don't it?
4 years, 37. Yeah, a
and
little different.
I'm going to ignore what you put there at the bottom because it hurts too much. Trying to get me to quit again.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin. You're awesome.
0.0 repeating.
You're the best. Gonna miss you.
I feel like we didn't use the whiteboard enough, Kevin. Can we use that more next time?
I mean, hopefully I'm just back in the seaport next time.
Yeah, I hope so.
But, oh, yeah, where you are right now. Sorry, that's a river, not a whiteboard.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
That's a river.
The frozen river.